Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to the Diva of Duels Blog Talk Radio Show. This is our 561st regularly scheduled, you know, weekly podcast. Not that we've hit all the weeks, but, you know, over 10 years or so. But anyway, so not bad, huh? They said we wouldn't last.
Not nerve of them.
The nerve. Carrie remembers the good old days when there was all kinds of stuff going on back then, huh?
Yeah.
But thanks to the diva who is on here tonight. Let's see. Oh, this is Anna hosting, kind of. And then we got the diva here. Where can we find you?
Hi, I'm at Diva Abdul.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. No, I'm just kidding. Who would have taken it?
I know.
All right. And Jen, where can people find you?
R-E-X-J-D-K.
All right. And Marianne may or may not show up. She's actually at a baseball game. She somehow thought that was more important than, you know, a MLB baseball game. But I don't know. I don't know where her head was right now. No, I'm kidding. No, hopefully she's having fun and the Pirates are winning, unless they're playing one of my teams, and I hope they're not winning. But anyway, and then you can find her at Mama, M-A-M-A, underscore Hooch. And I think she's on Twitter and is she on Instagram? I think so. So anyway, and then you can find me at Cosy Hooch. Although we have the last name, no relation, just friends. But who, you know, Mama Hooch, Cosy Hooch. Anyway, so we're all hoochies. But anyway, so welcome to the show. We always like to give a shout out to Bob and Amy Hapka, who are on social media on various places. They're a lovely couple, and we love them dearly. They're one of our longest friends of the Diva of Duel show, so we love giving them a shout out. They're an awesome couple and super adorable. Anyway, and then we also like to give shout out to at Lauren Coslow on Instagram and on Twitter, and at Teo Penglis on everything. and then also, I'm not sure where else he's at, but I know on Twitter, Ian Buchanan is Kilt Trip USA. I'm not sure. Like, I haven't looked at some of the Twitter lately, so I'm not really sure if he's on Instagram or anything else. But anyway, but we like to give shout outs to them because they're wonderful and favorites of the show. Even though, you know, Teo's in and out and Ian's no longer on the show, but hopefully maybe someday he'll come back. And then, Carrie, help me out. Let's see. Where can we find? Oh, the main place I go to for Diva of Duel, besides Blog Talk, of course, we've got to give a shout out to this platform. But a long time ago, you set up an iTunes page for the Diva of Duel, and I know that was actually a real pain in the butt at the time. Gave you a lot of grief trying to get that thing set up, but it's really nice because all of our previous podcasts, all of our interviews with various cast and crew and people affiliated with the show, past, present, and so on, are also on there in one conveniently located place. You could listen to us on iTunes, go back and listen to some of our old interviews with various people like Lauren Coslow, Teo Penglis, and Ian, and a ton of others. And then also you can go to Spotify. It's Diva of Duel on there too, right? And so you can check us out on Spotify. And as Carrie says, if you're going to listen to one, give us the highest rating at the end so that we can, you know, get some more traction there. And then also, you got a Facebook, Facebook, and then where else can we pimp? Let's see. Do you house the blog talk, or the I'm sorry, your Diva Abdul blog, does that have all the old interviews from like Day of Days still, or
I haven't updated the blog in a long time. Because that was when I started it, I was working part time and working full time.
Sure.
It's impossible to blog. Yeah.
Right. But like, do you know, because I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to this, but are the interviews from the Day of Days, are they on iTunes and Spotify, or are they housed just on the blog?
They should be everywhere. If you just Google Diva Abdul and just pick an actor, say Brian DiTillo, it'll pop up. Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay. Yeah, because those are fun to kind of listen back from years past or whatever, and some of them are more current, but some of them go back 10 years or so. So that's all cool. And then I've got a cough really quick, so let me cough. I'll mute myself. Okay. Hopefully that doesn't go on. I had a coughing spell right before I came on the air, and so if you find me suddenly muting, it's because I'm trying not to bust your eardrums. As we always do, we put a little description on some of the things we're going to talk about from last week's show. I want to know, I think I deserve some sort of medal because I actually have watched 2 weeks in a row from start to finish. I mean, I don't know what kind of award I should get, but, you know, I mean, a bare minimum award, I don't know, because I'm part of a Divas Duel team, but, you know, it's been a while since that's happened where I could get all the episodes in. And I think it's because I finally got it set up on Roku so I could watch it on the TV, which I'm an old person. What can I say? I like to watch it I call it the big print version of Dave.
Yeah.
Because I was watching it from my iPhone, and it's not the same, you know? And so, anyway, so I've been enjoying that. I don't know why it took me so long to get the Roku thing going, but anyway. So let's see. I have a couple things that I know we want to discuss. What do you guys think? Do you want to discuss the in-real-life stuff a little bit first, or you want to save that, talk about the show? What do you guys want to do?
Let's talk about the news. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, you want to start? You want to take it from there? Or you want me to?
I cannot keep a man on staff who basically is running the show, because Ken Corday can't be bothered to show up at the studio unless they have a cake for somebody. And just give him
cake
a written
death,
warning.
Obviously.
Yeah, cake
yeah.
of death. And just give him a written warning for being just absolutely horrible to the women on the show. I mean, we're talking...
Mm-hmm. And some of the men, too,
that,
even. Sounds like it went to his head a lot.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's doing sexual assault, I mean, allegedly, because we don't know anything, allegedly. But if you're forcing yourself on women, that is a crime. And giving that guy a written warning, I mean, come on, that's not going to fix his behavior. There's no HR there either. There's nobody there
right.
to protect these women. And
right.
we just read recently they extended their one-week hiatus by another week or so. I'm assuming, my assumption, not from any inside information, but I don't have it, he's probably going to be fired and replaced. And I think they're maybe looking for a
replacement.
They're
going to
have
to do something.
They got to replace him. There's no way.
This guy is completely replaceable. To back up just a little bit
here for those who may be listening to this at some point along the way and maybe years from now or new today's or whatever and don't have a clue what's going on. Basically, Deadline posted an article in which they spilled the beans. Obviously, somebody spilled the beans for them, which became a pretty big industry story, wouldn't you say? Not just Daytime. I think this is like a big industry story.
Yep.
And without going into a lot of details, there's a couple of Deadline articles people can look up, Days of Our Lives. Deadline.com, I'm assuming. And basically the co-executive producer, who, again, I don't know him personally. I'm not here to condemn anyone or make judgment on anyone, but
if what has been alleged after a couple of month investigation with numerous people speaking with HR as part, or well, speaking with a Sony outside representative, they brought someone in from, I guess, Sony's HR, or maybe even hired somebody outside of that. I'm not sure, but Sony took the responsibility, not Corday or, you know, anybody on the set. And basically, we find out that for a couple of decades, this particular person, no matter what role they were in, but most recently, the last several years as co-executive producer, was basically in control of everything and using that control to be very unprofessional would be the best way to describe it without being gross, which is what his behavior basically was in many cases, allegedly. So that's what we're all upset about. I don't know. I know that when I'm watching the show this week after seeing those articles, I'm sitting there thinking, is that the girl, is that the actress that he said XYZ to, or that he mocked, or that he woman-handled, or whatever it was, you know? Is that the one who said, you know, just pretend like you were young again when you're in this love scene or whatever? I mean, that kind of stuff. And then that actress that said it in the article, that actress proceeded to start crying every start of every scene after that all day long. Who wouldn't? Because I'm not quoting it exactly right, but basically it was very offensive what he said and hurtful. And I don't see how he could actually be expecting a best performance from somebody after you do that kind of crap. So it sounds like he was very full of is very full of himself and a very much a bully and very much let's just say, in other words, I don't think this is a overstatement. These people, when they get a collection of all of these people saying, I mean, verifying separate interviews saying almost the exact same things that happened over the years. And then you have people like Lisa, I haven't even read what Lisa Rinna said, but like then she comes out and says, it was like the worst set ever. It was awful. You know, that's all the, I've seen some quotes about that. I don't know if anybody's read that. Have you guys read anything that she said?
No.
Carrie? Well, she came out with some stuff. Okay.
I'll go look it up again. But, yeah, I retweeted what Lisa said. But
okay.
She deleted it, by the way.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, I think it was this thing in the thing is even when you, as actors, I'm sure actors, and I'm sure the crew, they indicated that the crew were also affected, as well as this co-executive producer's production crew. So he wasn't treating his staff nicely either. But, you know, sometimes we can get caught up. I think sometimes people can overreact to things. I don't view this as an overreaction. I view this as this has been bottled up for decades, and it's disgusting that it was allowed to go along as long as it was.
Yeah, where was ABC?
The most inappropriate, unprofessional, disgusting crap that anybody – and I think the other thing – it's abusive in the sense that not only the individual acts or comments or snark, people, look at, I've worked around men. When I was in business, I was around men all the time. And we'd joke and they'd be gross sometimes. And I just laugh it off. I wasn't like sensitive that way. And I got it, you know, I wasn't ever like, oh my God, she just said this in front of me. But this guy, this was beyond that. He was getting away with a lot of things he should have never gotten away with because he could, because nobody was overseeing his ass. Nobody was coming in there and saying, this is inappropriate. And when they did take the information to the higher, the you-know-who above that, he was just like, well, let's let the investigation go. Well, I guess this is during the investigation. Let's let the investigation go forward, and we'll see what happens to that. But, you know, I just find it appalling that in this day and age, and the thing of it is, they know that these people are vulnerable. Not to say that they, you know, they want to be working actors. If they're on the show, they want to be working actors. They, you know, this is their profession, and the same with the crew and with the production staff. And so if you think, if I say anything, the only guy I can report it to is the guy who's doing it. Because once they moved studios a handful of years ago, that was another key thing. Like, who the hell wasn't paying attention to that? That if you had to go to HR, you had to go to another completely different building, completely different company, to say something. Otherwise, the only person you could go to is, hey, so-and-so, because I refuse to say his name right now because I'm so pissed. But, hey, so-and-so, by the way, my co-executive producer, which happens to be you, is being a complete ass and terrorizing everybody on the set and making it completely hostile and uncomfortable and like none of us want to be here. Except for this is our job, and we love being an actor, but we don't want to be here with you. That doesn't work. You know that doesn't work.
Nope.
If they do say anything to him, they're gonna get pay the price for it. And if they don't say it, then he looks at it as, you know, he's just getting away with it, and he can just keep getting away with it because he's got the power. And these people want to work again. So a lot of, as you've noticed over the last several years, they've done rotating arcs where some of our favorites, some of our longtime, some of our not so favorites, some of our favorites, they'll rotate storylines, and so they'll be off camera for a while. Then they'll bring them back for various storylines and stuff. So if you're an actor who wants to be brought back at some point, then, you know, it's like, well, I guess I won't complain to anybody because it'll get back to him. Because they'll say, hey, a young actress, well, he can look on his figure, you know, count his fingers and toes and figure out, okay, it's got to be one of these three or four people, and I know who it is because I did it to them or I said it to them. So they know that he's going to know, and there was nobody to have their back. You know, I just feel like these guys are true professionals. They make it look flawless every day when they're filming and the product that they put out, and I admire that so much, and so much more now that I know what kind of crap was going on behind the scenes. And I just find it so hypocritical of Hollywood to be the whole Me Too bullshit. And then there's a Me Too case right in their building, and they don't do anything about it. So I'm – okay, sorry. But anyway, so, yeah, I just feel bad. And I couldn't help, as I was watching it this week, I would look at this, like, actress or something, or, you know, I'd be like, is that the actor that he said XYZ to, or – to make him feel small, is this the actress that he said this or that to? And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at them as a human being, not as the character they're playing.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, it's kind of ruining my experience. Not that it's about me. I'm not saying that. But they are putting out a product. And now we all know what's going on behind the scenes all this time. And it can't help but take away from the viewer experience because you're sitting there thinking, gosh, is that woman like, thinking, did he just say something bad to her, and has she still got to get through this scene? You just can't help but think of that. And my heart breaks for everybody involved, because even if someone was not a target, they probably either heard about it, saw it happen, or tried to step in and do something and then got in trouble, you know, whatever. So
yeah.
I think it's a really sad, because Days of Our Lives, I've always heard that it was like family and what a great environment and all. And I guess as people got more hands off, this guy got more hands on and was allowed to let it roll. But anyway, all right, that's all I'm going to say right now. If either of you would like to say anything, go for it.
Yeah, I got Lisa's Instagram post. She said, Lisa Renna, went back to play Billy in 2021 for Days of Our Lives Beyond Salem. I was there for 1 week only. I was shocked by the hostile environment that it had become, and I was afraid for the young actors who had to continue to work there. I went to the producer. I even spoke with Sony HR. I wonder where the union is in this, and how was this left unchecked? That's
wow.
What Lisa Renna said. But she deleted
it. Good for her. Good for her that she spoke up. But see, she's more in a position, and I'm not saying this diminishes her speaking up. She was at least willing to put her neck on the line for future work, because at least she's in a little bit of a different position. Because I don't think she's on Housewives anymore, but she's had Housewives, and she, you know, has other things going on. But it's like, good for her, because she knew she could stick her neck out a little bit, and I'm really impressed that she said something, because it still was not without a cost to her to do that. Thank you for reposting that, by the way. Sure. Jen, do you have anything you want to say?
I think a lot of this is on NBC. I mean, they are a product of NBC. Where was NBC?
Yep. Right. Exactly.
It's like,
and you know, when what's that?
They didn't learn from the scandal over at ABC.
Which one was that? I can't even remember.
What's that bozo's name? The guy, he's in prison now for, like, life. He was harassing all the young actresses.
Weinstein? That
yeah.
Guy? Oh. Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize he was affiliated with ABC. I can't remember what it was. But
yeah, I'm pretty sure it was ABC he was affiliated with.
Well, I know he's a movie. He was a movie producer and stuff too, but I don't know. Anyway, we all know. We've all heard rumors through the years, but people that want to have an honest career in that business, they have every right to have. You know, no, we're not saying you have to have. You know, like Google has. My cousins work for Google, and they're like, they've got the the chocolate fountain and all that stuff. You know, all the extras in the world. I'm not saying you have to treat anybody like, you know, they're princes and princesses or whatever, but they are owed a safe and professional environment.
They are human beings.
What's that? Yeah.
They are human beings.
Human beings. And, you know, and now you think back and you think, oh, I wonder why so-and-so is leaving. Why would they leave? We love them. They're great. Well, maybe now we have an idea, and not everybody's going to leave for the same reason, but I could name a couple people most recently that may have because of that, and also in the past. Well, gee, we really liked XYZ person in this role or whatever. Why don't they ever come back anymore? Or why, you know, well, you know, maybe it got worse and worse, and, you know, they're like, geez. And then maybe if you're in a different working environment and you come back to Days, like Rena did, and you're like, whoa. Yeah. So,
that's right. You remember why you left.
Right. Well, and I think, too, with COVID, when they got to film through quite a bit of that, thankfully, but still, you know, that was already a stressful environment. But what did it do? It separated everybody. So the only time they really got to speak with each other was when they were on set getting ready to film something. So that means that person that was abusing them could do a lot more, get away with a lot more even,
That's true.
It's not like they could hang out in their dressing rooms together and in a closed setting and gab about it and share their stories, you know, not gab, but like that's diminishing it, but like, you know, vent about it, you know, or share. So I just think it's just really, it's a hot mess. I'm glad they're, I mean, obviously, we don't want anything to. We want the show to continue. I mean, obviously, but at the same time, they need to get their house in order. That's just unacceptable, and I hate to see it with a show that we love, and that we've loved for so many years, and has gone on for almost 60 years at this point. That legacy, I can't believe that Ken Corday would want that legacy to be the postscript on his family's legacy. So they better make some major changes, and they better make them fast. And, you know, that's all there is to it. I think most of us are in agreement, you know. So, it's pretty sad, pretty sad. So anything else on that?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay, anything else that's in real life before we go on? I'm trying to think.
Nope, all
amazing.
Good here.
Okay, Carrie, you good? Carrie?
You know
Carrie,
what?
You there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Now I can. You guys?
Yeah.
No, I'm just pissed about the whole thing because human nature tells you this guy's not going to change.
Right.
So you think a written letter, a written warning,
that was
going to do something?
That was so insulting. And you know,
yeah,
the thing
I
is,
mean,
it, you're right. The thing of it is that might have been a required first step, but I don't think I would have even mentioned it. I would have just said the studio is dealing with it behind the scenes, and more will be said later, or something like that. Saying something like, "Well, we got a written notice or warning." It's like, what are we, McDonald's? Come on.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I mean, I worked in an environment with a lot of men and women. We had men sexually harassing women. I've heard of women saying inappropriate things to men. I've seen women be inappropriate with other women. And really what it comes down to is what HR usually does is, well, who's more important, and that's the person we're going to keep. And
yep.
That's really what it comes. I've said this several times on the show. HR is not your friend. They are there to protect the company. They don't give a shit about you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we don't have an HR
that's
situation here. They don't have one. But even if they had one, they probably wouldn't do anything. So, you know, and I've seen women falsely accuse men of sexual harassment because they wanted them fired. So I've seen it from every freaking different angle you could see.
And that's why
a
lot of times I don't jump to that immediate fire him, you know, because a lot of times there are other things behind the scenes that we don't know. But in this case, it sounds pretty clear cut. And just from the various things I've read, I feel like they probably have it right in terms of what's wrong at this point. They should have had it a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so.
Yeah. And, yeah, because there's multiple eyewitnesses to a lot of stuff that happened and multiple instances. So you don't have to do the verbal warning, written warning, final warning, you're fired bullshit. Because, I mean, even touching someone inappropriately once is enough to get fired.
Yeah.
Well, I think the other thing was it said something like he's been scaled back, his work has been scaled back over the last few months. I mean, really? I'm sorry. Even if you had to pay the guy to be away from the set for 2 months or whatever while the investigation went on, how would you feel if you had to go talk to HR and tell your story or tell the story of what you saw happen to other people or whatever, and then go right back to the set and the guy's giving you directions for a love scene or something? I mean,
yeah. I mean, that's
how
thing.
Sick would you be? How sick would you be?
Yeah, and the thing is, too, like they have in movies and other shows, there should be an intimacy coordinator, and that person's job is to protect the actors so they don't get exploited.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
that
mm-hmm.
one instance there when Alar was mad because the one actress was basically short-sheeted and wanted another sheet, and he insulted her. And
oh,
the
my God.
Too, he was, yeah, oh,
well,
you didn't know that.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's basically like she was fitzing around trying to – she realized, oh, they didn't send an extra sheet over. So she was trying to make the best of it and arrange what she had in a way that wouldn't expose her. And he was criticizing her for slowing things up. Like, what? It's your responsibility to make sure somebody has the right equipment on set to protect me, the actor. And you're like, hey, who cares if they see your boobs? Let's keep it going. You're slowing things up. I mean, I'm not quoting him there. I'm just saying from the article, it sounded like he was yelling at this person for, like, slowing up production. And she was just trying to make the best of the situation instead of, you know, getting up and saying, hey, I'm not doing this without another sheet. She could have done that and been fully okay, fully within her rights to do it. But she was trying to be a team player. And then that a-hole has, nope, not acceptable.
Well, even that, too, she's in her early 40s, and he made a comment, like, for her to be, pretend to be young and vital like she was in her 20s.
Yeah.
So he was age-shaming her on top of it, and I'm sorry. I mean,
and then
she's
supposed
to
be romantic in the scene.
Yeah, and they said
get in the headspace.
Yeah, she cried all day long.
Yeah.
And also, too, it said numerous.
What's that?
Yep. Numerous women have been fired because of him or quit. And he doesn't, he blames it on budget cuts when women get fired, but he they said he's only fired one man in the past few months, but about 5 to 7 women.
Mm-hmm. I think so. About, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I just, and of course, these are all people who basically know what a jerk he is, you know, and have just tried to put up with it the best they could. But I don't know. It just makes me sick. I'm just sad for the show. I'm sad for the actors, the set, the crew, the production staff, everybody. And it's just a real shame. It's just a real, real shame. So, and then did you read, somewhere I read, maybe it was that same article, that his wife was brought on to be a writer in March because of the strike that was coming up.
Oh,
so
my
he
God.
Brought his wife on. And I'm like,
yep.
Okay. All right, whatever. Yeah, so, yeah, it's just really sad. Yeah, so I don't know how this is all going to be resolved, but, you know, I give credit to Ken for keeping the show alive, fighting for it for a long time. I think maybe he's, like, phoning it in these days, maybe not even phoning it in, and that's what you get when you have somebody that has full reign and they're as unprofessional and nasty as that person is. And honestly, he didn't know that up until now.
He had to know.
I cannot believe. And again, I don't want to criticize. I really hate to say things about him because he has fought for the show. His parents developed the show, started the show, and were pioneers in the industry. I'm not trying to do anything about their legacy, but He should have known. He probably knew. And he probably just didn't care. And that makes me ill. So, there you are.
And what about Ron?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like.
Well, and a lot of times the writers aren't necessarily on set. So, I mean, they write remotely a lot. So I don't know how much they all know about all that stuff. But, I mean, who knows? But Ken had to have had... He had to have had some people come to him at one time or another. He had to have gotten wind of things. But, you know, it was probably one of those things that was easier for – I'm just guessing. I'm just putting it out here. I'm talking as a fan, My thought is that he knew Albert – oh, he knew this guy could run it. He knew he could – he had the, you know, history to be able – you know, the history and somewhat a skill, I guess, although how much it's won, I don't – really know because of all this, but it was just easier to let him take over and run things than for him to actually find somebody who was professional. That's what it sounds like to me, but that's just me. So I feel, I mean, again, although this is alleged, I don't know anything by fact, but just from what I've read, it's very upsetting. So anyway, all right. We got a little bit of time left to talk about the show.
Yeah.
So, as I said in the summary, as I said in the lead up to the show tonight, in the description of the show, I said something about, is anyone keeping track of how many kids Eric will have to put through college in 20 years? Sherry,
oh,
you want to take that one?
Well, I want to say I called it months ago because I said maybe we're going to have a Mickey and Maude situation, like that movie. The
you're right.
Yeah, except for they're not pregnant at the same time. Because I'm assuming Nicole's probably about 3 months along and Sloane's like 2 seconds along.
Yeah,
but
we could have
yeah,
a preemie, you know, or whatever. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Oh my.
So we don't. We know somebody's getting born soon, though. I think, what, September, maybe? Somebody's getting born.
Oh.
But, yeah. Yeah, so it's like the Dudley Moore movie where he knocked up 2 women and he's running back and forth trying to check on the woman while they're giving birth to the same hospital without getting caught.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
That Eric, the former priest,
yeah.
He knocked up Sarah.
He's not even spreading the Demira seed.
No. He knocked up Sarah. He knocked up Jada. He knocked up Nicole. And he knocked up Sloane. And this is just in, like, the last 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
And it never occurs to him that maybe, you know, he should start buying condoms.
Maybe he should. Maybe he should be refrocked. Maybe once he got the frock off, he was like, "What the frock? Might as well frock a lot."
Well, all those years of celibacy, he must have just had just pent up swimmers that wanted to come out.
Yeah. So.
Ron's going to do another storyline he did on One Life to Live, where one girl was poking holes in condoms.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. The girl, Camilla, who plays Gabby.
Yeah.
She was poking holes in her cousin's condom.
Oh.
Say that again. Say what?
Camilla, when she played on One Life to Live. She was poking holes in her cousin's condom.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
I
told you,
that's
a good whack job.
I just hope they don't bring back those masks. I didn't want to see the masks with somebody who's 6 foot tall with a mask of somebody who in real life is like 5'2 and petite. I don't want to see that crap again.
No.
I really don't. I mean, I loved it back when in the day when in the 80s when it was completely unrealistic, but it was still kind of cool. You know, we had that with Tony and Andre or something like that. There was something going on with that.
Andre had a Roman mask.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I just can't deal with this anymore. I just hope Ron doesn't go to that, let's just say. But anyway, I don't know. I'm just... Oh, and what did you guys think of the fact that Sloan put two and two together and figured out that, because Nicole mentioned to her that they had done some genetic testing, and I don't know if Nicole was hinting to let her know that was happening or what, but Sloan figured it out, and she went and posed as Nicole and got her got Nicole and EJ's DNA test where it said that there was not a DNA match with EJ. So, you know, if that's accurate, and we don't know that it is, because usually whatever the first result is usually wrong, and then the second result is wrong, then the third result is wrong, then maybe fourth or fifth we get it right. But I need to bring up the DNA thing a little bit later. But I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I thought that was pretty crafty of her, and it's so funny how that worked out, right?
Yeah.
Jen was probably like, private personal medical information once again in the wrong way.
Yeah, I was cringing.
Probably she wanted to just like scream, like, that would never happen. Could also do with say my husband she was pretending to be Nicole, and she was with my husband EJ, you know, Demira or whatever, and then the nurse's like oh well by all means, she said I don't have my ID with me. So Sloan got the, I don't know what Sloan, I guess that'll be next week or something, Sloan got the result. Surely she's going to go to Nicole and say, by the way, we got to doctor this stuff because it says EJ's not the father. But does she want Nicole to know that? I mean, like, I don't know. Nicole knows, right? Already? Is that correct?
No, Nicole doesn't know because Sloan has the test.
That's right. But I was thinking for some reason Nicole knew that Sloan had rigged the test for, didn't she submit her own DNA instead of, Eric's or something. And it came back, no, it's not Eric's, but it wasn't Eric's DNA.
I don't know.
I'm confused. But anyway, because they did do a DNA thing a while back, but they didn't test these guys. They just tested Eric's, but it wasn't really Eric's, I thought. And so.
Yeah, it was from.
Just by default. Yeah, by default, it looked like it was EJ's, but we all know that's not the case now. So we got that going on, and then so somebody's going to have to get some really good
light out or, you know, cut and paste something, do some old school editing on this hard copy, or get Sammy back in town so she can go into the system and bring it or something. anyway, so we've got that going on where we know it's Eric's now for sure. That's why I was saying about the college fund for Eric in 20 years. Oh, by the way, does Holly still exist? Is she alive?
Not that I know of.
What about Chloe's kid? I've forgotten.
Parker.
Parker. Yeah, we haven't seen Parker or Holly in like a year. I don't know. Or they don't even mention them most of the time. So, and then Ariana as well. Like, I don't know. That's
Ariana did get a mention.
She got a mention, but I'm like, wow, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. I just think that's weird. But that'll have to be another scene. I think when Dina was writing, they had the kids were taking on the show. But I just think, and maybe somebody else too, some other writer. But they don't have to be everything, but it'd be nice if they actually showed them once in a while so they actually knew that they existed. But nobody even asked, well, how's Holly doing? How is she going to be a big sister? What's she going to have? Whatever. So, and then, since we're talking about the rule and stuff, they somehow ended up with a double wedding at the mansion with Gwen and her gay boyfriend that she just met, who's gonna earn or gonna inherit like multi-$1 million that she didn't realize gonna inherit 2040. They just be married, so he's getting married. So they're getting married at the mansion along with who's the other? Stefan and Gabby. And I'm surprised Gabby didn't throw a bigger fit about that, to be honest.
Yeah.
She's probably just like, oh, well, we just want to get married, not fair. But it's just bizarre how that all came about. But so now we're having a double wedding with people who hate each other. But nevertheless, and of course, what I was wondering is, did you guys feel like Gwen was on to Leo and what's his name there for a little
bit? I thought so.
I swear, the way she was playing it in the hotel room, I thought she was like playing it like with a little knowing smile, like, I'm going to see how deep you're going to dig yourself into a hole, and then at the wedding, I'm going to get you both or whatever. I don't know. I just thought that was going to happen. Maybe it still will. I don't know. But,
I'm so mad they went there. I like Leo and Gwen.
I know. Yeah. I'm pissed about that whole story. I just think it's awful. I think it's gross. I mean, I just think it's gross that Leo's like, they're like ride or die friends, and he's going to just go screw this guy with, I don't know, I just, so tasteless. It's really, I guess she's one of the characters that might be leaving town for a while, but I just, I mean, that's such a horrible way to do that, if that's the case. I don't know, but I don't know. I agree. I thought horrible writing, horrible story. I could have done it a million different ways, but that to me was not the right one. But I just kind of felt like she figured it out, put two and two together, but maybe not. I don't know. So, what would be cool is if she let him inherit the money, then she divorced him and took half. Well, see, and if she doesn't stick around for, well, and if she doesn't stay married to him for a year, then he doesn't get it. So, I don't know. I don't know how it works. Anyway, so, let's
Frankie
see.
Needs to come back and take that money.
Yeah. And I don't know why Kristen's so invested in this. I'll take half. I mean, they already have a Demira money. I'm like, come on,
it's
people.
Like, don't you have enough?
But okay. So we only have like 15 minutes left. It looks like. So we got to talk about Mila. Yeah, whatever. Okay. So Melinda Trask and
Lee.
Right. Lee, yeah. Sorry, Lee Chen. Are both, you know, they're both, their hearts are broken. They decided they're going to hire this matchmaker who is sending them on dates, right, and doing the matchmaking thing, and they set them up with blind dates. And, of course, you know, we know that Melinda and Lee were matched the first time. Was that the week before? I think that was last week. The week before us. Anyway, they ended up like, what? You're my date? Oh, my gosh. And then they ended up really liking each other, getting along, had a lot in common. Everything's going great until she decides to be a wise ass and, you know, tape record him privately, try to get him to confess to being complicit with Stefan's, the attempted murder of Stefan. And then he was like, oh, heck no, no way. And he's bust out of there. Well, then the matchmaker schedules both of them for a date another time. And the matchmaker tells Melinda, okay, he's going to be wearing a dark navy suit. And so then she sees Lee walk in, and he's getting kind of primped up and, you know, kind of checking his jacket and everything. And she goes, oh, my gosh, no way. I cannot believe this. And then I think he looks over and he's like, no, no, this is not happening again. I cannot believe she put us together again. And then they find out that Alex, because he's sad and licking his wounds from losing Stefanie, he, oh, this is like the most entertaining part of the week, actually. But then he shows up and he's actually Melinda's date. And then she's like, oh, my God. Like another guy she's tried to, I think, accuse of murder or whatever, of other things. So, like, all these people she's been trying to lock up or showing up as her dates. There should be, like, a checklist. You know, the matchmaker should have something like, okay, anybody that's been in my courtroom or, you know, probably not a
good
idea.
But that's the whole town. She wouldn't be able to date anybody.
I know. That's so true. That's so true. So Alex shows up, and he is actually Melinda's date. And then this crazy girl shows up for Lee. And I thought that was like the funniest part of the week. I don't know. Did you guys enjoy those scenes?
Yeah.
Carrie, what about you? Did you find those fun?
Yeah. I think they should go for it with Melee. Go. I mean, why not?
I think so too.
I like them.
Well, and I think that was
yeah.
the point. I almost feel like the matchmaker did that on purpose to say, you know, I know you two should be together, but first you need to see what it's like with two other people and then realize you kind of had it good with the first person, maybe. I don't know. But so Alex ends up talking about his therapy and all these things about past relationships, and I was trying to improve it. He just is rambling on and talking about himself the whole time. And I guess it's so funny because Melinda's like, and could you stop taking your fake glasses on and off? You know, like, and he's like, she's like, I find that so incredibly annoying. It's just so annoying. And so then, you know, and we've always talked about how he takes his glasses on and off. You know, we've kind of talked about that as fans. And so it was kind of like her speaking for the audience, like, why is he doing that, you know? And then you got Lee over there across in the same restaurant across the way, and he's with this lady who's like, I can't even explain, but she's like, you know, into the whole true crime thing. And she's like, I'm always rooting for the criminal, you know, the murderer, you know, like, but, so anyways, as they're talking, she's rambling on about stuff. And then like, what was it? Oh, she said, oh, and for a brief time I worked, I started out with like the nurse, like, oh, and I volunteered as a candy striper at Salem University Hospital. And then I think she said she was going to nursing school or something like that. And she says, maybe it was just the volunteer. I can't remember. But anyway, she says, one thing that just blew my way is the crazy amount of times we had to go through DNA testing training. And I thought that was funny because of the history on the show. So I thought that was kind of fun that they both, like, you know, and like she was like, oh, I'm so excited to see that I know who you are, and I know you were accused of, you know, murdering. You know, like he was like, trying to be defensive, like, I was not involved in that. That is the wrong. She's like, oh, well, I was kind of hoping you were because I like the bad boys, you know. But he was just like, OMG, get me out of here, you know. And Melinda's thinking the same thing. And then didn't they, after the other two left, didn't they talk after that? Does somebody remember?
Yep.
Like, did Lee go over to her?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they drank the wine.
Yeah, that's right. She says, might as well drink. But I see some chemistry there. So I think, even though it's like, you know, he is a bad boy,
and she is, you know, technically like the DA or whatever. I like them. I really do. I think they're cute. And you know, she was talking about getting pregnant. Like she was talking about who was she talking to? Somebody about pregnancy.
Sloan.
Oh, when Sloan came in, and they kind of made up and patched things up a little bit. And she's like, "Well, I told you I owed you a drink, and I'm paying up." And then she's like, "Oh, well, I'm not drinking." She's like, "What?" She's, "Well, I'm pregnant." You know, I'm like, "Oh my gosh!" Well, you know, so Melinda's like, "I can't believe." So Sloan was telling her kind of the backstory of why she wanted to have a baby and all stuff. And then Melinda's like, "You know, I thought about it. You know, having, you know, doing that." She's like, "But I was thinking maybe you should call Eric up. I mean, he's obviously."
Yeah.
Knows what he's doing. I mean, maybe
he's
banked
a lot
of sperm. Well, since he was, like, celibate for so many years, maybe he just has an extra supply. And, like, it's just, I don't know. I don't know if that's scientific or not, but it makes sense. I don't know. Anyway, but so I just think that would be so, like, fun if they, like, if Lee, like, I call him M-E-L-I. So, I don't know. Carrie, you were suggesting Melee. I love that.
Yeah.
Melee, I don't know, however, Melee. But anyway, is their squish name. But I just think I could definitely ship them. I could. You guys like them too, right? You think
yes.
It would be fun to watch. Okay. So, and I was reading up on the actor. I think his name's Remington Hoffman, which I didn't see coming. I just like, he doesn't look like a Remington to me, but he's really cute, very handsome,
yes.
And it was so cute. He's married, and he's got this little baby daughter and everything, and so I was like, he's so handsome. I think he's very handsome. And I think he's actually a director, but somehow got into acting and modeling, too, or something. But I think he's improved with his acting. I think he has improved there.
Definitely.
But, I think when he first started, he was a little rough, but like a lot of them are. A lot of the people who start out there, it's a little rough, but I think he's improved a lot. So, all right, so we don't have a whole lot of time left. Oh, let me see, Mary Ann. Oh, sorry. Let me see if I can get Mary Ann on here.
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, Mary Ann.
I'm sorry. I just refreshed my iPad and saw. I just refreshed the iPad and because it was dark, it had gone blank. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
That's okay. I just thought I'd call you real quick. We're on our way home from Pittsburgh.
All right. Well,
Pirate win now. It's a long game.
It's going to go off in 7 minutes, so go for it.
Oh, okay.
What would you like to share?
I'm just calling to say hi, and I guess you guys discussed the whole.
Oh, yeah. That's why we only have a few minutes left. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? We're about ready to go through the tunnel, so you're probably going to lose me, or I'm going to lose you.
Okay.
But
I'm so glad you called.
Or wait, I don't
know. That's
great. What's that? Yeah. See, you lose reception in here.
Okay.
No, we can hear you.
No. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, it's good. Yeah, okay. So does everyone agree that Alar should be fired?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's got to happen.
Should've been fired.
It's crazy online.
Should have been fired before they said. They should have never said, oh, we gave him a written warning and we cut back on his workload the last few months. Even if they had to pay him double, they should have put his butt home during that two-month investigation. Because who wants to work under that situation? I mean, it makes it even
definitely
worse.
Definitely not.
Yeah, and Cordae should have He needs to step up. I mean, that's his family's, you know, show.
I agree.
They could, you know, you don't want to see them lose that or cancel because of that one guy.
Yeah.
He can't be that good.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
think,
I see
you probably,
some of the actors.
Did you
talk about some of the actors, like Peter Reckel and Ari? And so.
Wait, who? Ari? Oh, I didn't see Ari speaking up.
Yeah, but she didn't really say as, you know, in a roundabout way, you know, to hang in there and stuff. But Lisa Rinna did. Lisa Rinna was saying she noticed it in Beyond Salem. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Carrie mentioned that. Carrie reposted it to her Twitter, Instagram?
Carrie?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Lisa actually deleted it. So.
Oh, she did.
But Carrie had it, so she retweeted it.
Yeah. Once you put it out there, it's out there. Once people, you know, it don't matter if you delete it, you know. So, but they need some of the veterans or some of the bigger ones. People say, you know, I can't believe that it's going on. You know, people like Deidre maybe, and, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it didn't happen to her, or maybe she didn't see anything. You know, some of them don't, you know. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I hope something happens.
I just think,
they went
dark
again next week, and they weren't supposed to.
Right. They're on hiatus. So. That's probably a good thing, very much a good thing, because Lord knows they need a break from that, and hopefully they're finding somebody to replace them, because I just can't imagine going back to work after all this to that person.
Yeah. Maybe that's why some of these young actresses were leaving.
Probably.
That's what
I said.
Yeah. We were like, well, why? Yeah, we're like, well, why? We love this actress. Why is she leaving or whatever? Or why do they only come back for a month or two and then they leave again? You know, now we might have an idea of why. You know,
why? Yeah.
So. But nobody needs that. Even if it's directed, even if it were directed at a few of the people, everybody else around them is seeing it and feeling it and knowing it's happening, and it's just not right, not right. So.
So did you mention our interview coming up on Monday?
No, I have not. I have not because we were so fired up about
it. Just
editing.
To, you know, put it out there. We're going to.
Go ahead and.
Well, we're going to have, you know, Teo Penglis on the show, and he's going to be talking about his new podcast. So, The Lost Treasure.
And the podcast sounds amazing.
He's had a lot of different interviews. I mean, he's, like, crazy busy and, but, yeah, get him to talk about that. So,
it's going to be a really interesting, educational, fascinating journey.
I'm learning stuff,
on
you know. Yeah, some of the stuff I learned, remember, in school, but this is a little bit, you know, a little bit more detail. So,
and we're going to talk about that on Monday
And he'll probably
night.
Talk days and, you know, travel and,
and refresh my memory.
It's at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock
Eastern. 7 Central and 5 Pacific.
So we'll get to
that
talk
there,
about
that
and ask some questions about that. And it sounds like a pretty extraordinary, well-produced project that he's working on. It's not just like he woke up one day and said, hey, I think I'll do a podcast. You know, it's like,
it took
a long
time in the making, but it's finally done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much high quality, great information, and then, of course, Teo. So that makes everything better. I think we're
All right.
I know anybody have anything else before we go? Because it's going to shut us off in about a minute.
Kathy DeVivo's back next week.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we saw that. Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. I hadn't seen that. Okay, Carrie, do you have anything?
No, hopefully we get some good news this week about what's going to happen with the situation.
Yep.
Written warning does not cut it. That's disgusting.
No.
Yeah. Mary Ann, did you have any last thoughts?
No, I'm good. So.
Okay. Well, I just had one quick thing I was going to mention. And just said 60 seconds, so I'll talk fast. Maybe we can talk about this next time, but I felt like there were some major continuity screw-ups this week on the show. Like, everybody's dressed up for night, and yet I'm going out on the town, I'm going out on this hot date, and yet there are people who are just starting their work day, or they're just now going to go eat breakfast or whatever, and I'm like, what in the heck is going on? So anyway, I put that in the description to see if anybody else thought that, so we can talk about that next time. But I felt some severe like choppiness there, or some confusion. Maybe it was just me. Maybe I wasn't following it correctly. But anyway, alrighty, ladies. Well, it was great talking with you guys. So much fun.
Okay.
Marianne, did you guys win?
Oh yeah, we beat the Phillies 7-6 on and David Bednar got the save on his bobblehead night, so it was exciting.
Awesome.
All right.
By one run. Yeah, it was a good, crazy.
Take care, Carrie.
Yeah. Marianne.
Okay.
Jen.
All right.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.